First Timothy. And yesterday we was out, and I don't know how much, and so if I start, I busted my lip yesterday, and it's liable to start bleeding again. June hit me in the mouth with a hammer. We went up there and driving some tomato steaks in, she hit the wrong steak, man. No, it wasn't her, it was me. But I lost grip. I mean, here I am just pounding away, you know, my arm just giving out. Well, somehow I let go of that hammer when I come down, and it hit the top of that stake, and it come back. It wasn't a hammer, it was a hatchet. And it come back and caught me in the lip, and I thought the sharp edges, what? Why did you do that? I mean, you know, blood, I wanted to see what it felt like. But anyway, I told her to lead me in a standard of amazing grace. But no, not quite. That I walked off. Let me see. You won't get in the flesh, you hurt yourself. You know, you don't want to tear that steak up like that steak is the one that's fault. So I don't know if it started bleeding. Let me know or something. I think it's quit, but it sure is sore. And I thought it was going to be more swelled than it was, but I'm just thankful that it wasn't the cutting edge of the hatchet that hit me. It would have been rough. Don't ever use a hatchet to drive anything. And if you have to use a hatchet to drive anything, don't ever let go of the handle. You know, I don't know what caused it to come out of my hand, but it just did. She said it was arthritis, you know, age, can't grip like I used to. And blame everything on arthritis and old age. But anyway, I learned a lesson there. So hopefully it'll be all right. First Timothy, I want you to notice something. And Paul talking about in chapter 1, the law, and who the law is for. And notice what he says there in verse 6, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good. Is the law good? Sure is. Now we're talking about the Ten Commandments here. We're talking about the law. You can read them in Exodus chapter 20. And thou shalt, you know, not commit a murder. Thou shalt not steal. You know the commandments. And he says there, desiring to be teachers of the law, verse 7, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Well, what if you didn't use it lawfully? How do you use the law lawfully? And if you didn't use it lawfully, would it be good? Now, you see what he said? He said, no, but we know that the law is good condition if a man use it lawfully. Well, if he didn't use it lawfully, would it be good? It wouldn't be good for that man that didn't use it lawfully. It's only good if you use it lawfully. If you don't use it lawfully, then it condemns. Now look, knowing this, that the law is not made for a what kind of a man? Is the law made for the righteous? Well, then why is the religions of the world that's supposed to be righteous trying to tell people to keep the law? Why do they tell you to believe on Jesus Christ and keep the commandments and you can be saved? It's not made for a righteous man. Who's it made for? Verse 9 again. Not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according, and this is verse 11 now, would tie into the sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to whose trust? To my trust. Now he goes back in verse 10 and he says, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So whatever's contrary to sound doctrine is in the same category as the lawless, disobedient, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, all men stealers, liars. That's what the law was for. But the law's not for the saved, for the righteous, for you to keep, for your salvation, or any other thing. The law was given to bring you to Christ, to show you that you need a Savior, because you can't keep the law. And the law would be like the measuring stick. And there's nobody that's ever kept the law except the Lord Jesus Christ. And he kept it perfect and then went to a cross and was condemned and died your death for your imperfectness. And he died as a perfect sacrifice, having kept the law, never committed a sin. And the wages of sin is death, but the death that he died was not for his crimes, his sins, but yours. And the law was fulfilled. I want to talk to you about sound doctrine today. Now notice this thing, sound. I looked it up. It's whole. It means in good health. Sound health. To be safe. Wholesome. Sound. Nothing about it flawed. Paul says, sound doctrine. Now notice this thing, sound doctrine would be the words. He said, verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. So that sound doctrine would have to do with what was committed to Paul's trust. Now notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. And we went over some of this last week. verse 13, hold fast. And that word hold fast is embrace. It's get a good grip on it. Don't do it like I did the hatchet handle. Don't let go of it in the midst of coming down and hit the thing and bounce back and hit you in the face. Don't do that. Grip it. Hold fast. Embrace it. The idea is to embrace it as a mother does her little baby. She doesn't let it fall. She holds it. She embraces it. She protects it. It's hers. It's something she cherishes. And so that's what he said. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of who? I keep drilling this and drilling this and drilling this in the fact that Paul, he said, I speak unto you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. We get accused of preaching Paul all the time. I don't magnify the man Paul. I magnify the position that God gave him as the apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul was given the gospel whereby I was saved. He was given the doctrine whereby I can follow the Lord in the dispensation of grace and be pleasing unto the Lord. And you can't follow the Lord without following Paul's doctrine. And what is sound, wholesome, and being in good health is in wrote down in 13 epistles that Paul wrote for you. And people don't even know it. And that's why we got to rightly divide the word of truth and find out what is wholesome, what is would cause us to be spiritually in good health. And everybody in here is concerned about health, and there's nothing wrong with that. Billions of dollars is spent every year on people trying to be in good health, and there's nothing wrong with that. People take vitamins and they do all kinds of exercise, try to stay in good health. Nothing wrong with that. But then they never consider their spiritual health. And they're sickly spiritually. Because they're not having wholesome, sound doctrine, and they're spiritually sick. Well, I'm interested in your spiritual side. Now look what he says there, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, Paul, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The words of Paul are sound words. Look in 2 Thessalonians. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice what he says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Notice in verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold. There's that word hold again. Embrace the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or what? Our epistle. And that word would have been his preaching, his oral presentation of the Word of God. Now look what he said in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you. He don't ask you. He commands you. Brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every what? Not sinner. Who's a brother? That's somebody's in the body of Christ, isn't it? That ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received of who? You know what traditions are? That's doctrine, folks. That's them wholesome words, them sound words, the tradition which he received of us. Look down in verse 14. And if any man obey not our what? Word. By this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you withdraw from a brother? Why would you have no company with a man? He said that he may be ashamed. You know, some folks, that's what it's all about. People ought to be ashamed if they're not following Paul. Hold the traditions, not the traditions of men. Look back in Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 18. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just look back in the... I'm just going to read a couple of the verses back in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of who? Men. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. Are you complete in Christ? When you trusted Christ as your Savior and he baptized you into the body of Christ, he sealed you into that body, and the Lord knoweth his own, having this seal, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I want you to understand, let me tell you something. When he did that, the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, folks, you're complete in him. Everything you need is in Christ. Now what possibly you could do to be any more complete in the flesh? Nothing. Look in verse 22. Traditions of men. In verse 22, I'll go back and look. He's talking about ordinances. Verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, there it is, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Folks, that's the problem. Look back in with me to Mark. Turn to the book of Mark. And notice in Mark, and people want to, I mean, you think about, look in Mark chapter 7, the commandments of men. In Mark chapter 7, notice what he says in verse 6. In Mark chapter 7 verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. Hey, you know the Lord was a pretty tough preacher, you know. You know, he looked at his congregation, called them a bunch of hypocrites. He in one place called them a bunch of snakes, vipers. I mean, and he said, you're like a bunch of whited sufferers, you clean up the outside and the inside's full of dead man. I mean, he's a pretty tough preacher. That's what I'm saying. A lot of people that really read about what the Lord preached and how the Lord was, they wouldn't like him. He was tough. You wouldn't want him to preach to you, now would you? Well, he'd know what was in your heart. Look what he said. He said, you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the what? commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. And that's where we're at today. And them's not wholesome words. It's not sound doctrine. Now look at this thing about sound doctrine. It's the words of Paul. The wholesome words that bring spiritual health to you, Paul will deliver them unto you. And the only way you can be spiritually healthy today and be wholesome is to follow the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Number two, let me look at this thing again. Sound doctrine is the word of the Lord to you. He sent to you some word. Jesus Christ has given you a portion of His word, and He wrote it directly to you as members of the body of Christ. Look with me and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And notice this in chapter 2 in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Sound doctrine is the words of Paul. Sound doctrine is the word of the Lord to Paul. It's not just Paul's idea. He just didn't sit down and just wrote some epistles to some churches. God Almighty breathed to the Apostle Paul and inspired, and he wrote down the words of the Lord. Look in chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Paul's writings are the word of God. The Thessalonians, they received it not as the word of Paul, but as the word of the Lord. You know, when you start having the word of God to work out in you and to work through you, and that power of the word is in you, is when you believe that it's from the Lord. Not just another apostleship. He said, be ye followers of me. Paul is your apostle. He said to keep the traditions that I give them unto you. The ordinances and all and all. In fact, look in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Look what he said in verse 1. Be ye followers of Luke. What books did Luke write? Come on, folks. Surely, you've been under my preaching for 30, how long y'all been under my preaching? Since 1975. Some of you math people, what's that, 35 years? Surely y'all know how many books Luke wrote. How many knows what Luke was? Devil, he... How many books did he write?
Two.
Luke wrote Luke. And wrote the book of Acts. You know where people follow the Lord at? Out of the book of Acts. They want the doctrine, the church in the book of Acts. God didn't say, follow Luke. He said, follow Paul. You can't follow the Apostle Paul's ministry in the book of Acts. You follow the writings of the Lord given to the Apostle Paul to you. All of the Bible is for me, for my learning, for my admonition, but not all of the Bible is to me as a member of the body of Christ. I have the writings of Paul, 13 of them, Romans 2, Philemon, that God God addressed to me as a member of the body of Christ. And if I want to follow the Lord and walk with the Lord and be pleasing with the Lord, I read them out of, I get my doctrine out of the Romans through Philemon. Not out of. Now I can use all the Bible. I make spiritual applications of all the Bible. I went over there and read you Mark what Jesus Christ said. What he said was true. You know that? In fact, we'll look at some of that. It's the words of the Lord. Look in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. In 2 Timothy. I'll tell you what. Go. Well, I want to stop. Yeah. Chapter 3, I think it is. And notice in verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture. Now you know what a script is? You know what a scribe is? He would write things down. Scripture is that that's wrote down. There are some things in this Bible that wasn't wrote down, that was passed down through oral communications. But look what he said. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Come down to chapter 4. What does he say in verse 2? Preach. What? The Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure. What kind of doctrine? Sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, which would be sound doctrine, and shall be turned unto fables, which is not wholesome words. Storytellers. Look in Titus chapter 1. Let's turn over a page. Titus chapter 1. Notice in verse 7. Talking about the bishops. For a bishop must be blameless. As the steward of God, the house manager of God. He's put in charge of the dispensation of God. He's a steward of them. And that's a whole different name. But anyway, not self-willed. Not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast. There it is. That word again, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. What do I need? I need that sound doctrine to convince the gainsayers. Where do I get it? Romans 2, Philemon. You know something? People use them qualifications out of 1 Timothy 3 for the bishops and deacons. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desire the good work. They never go over here to look at Titus. They're a little different. He adds some things there, buddy. And boy, that's something. You know, the majority of preachers today don't even know where they get their sound doctrine from. Is that not a qualification? How can you embrace something and hold something if you don't even know what it is? There's a lot of preachers today that's not qualified to preach. I don't care how bad they want to, if God Almighty said, this is it. I might desire to be a brain surgeon. Anybody want to hear how do me to do operate on you? Why can't I do brain surgery? I'm not qualified, don't you see? No matter how bad can't do it. And I see them, they get on televisions and radios and they don't even know what the sound doctrine is. They're not holding fast the faithful word. That faithful word was the word given through the Apostle Paul. There's where your sound doctrine is. I'm going to prove that to y'all. So you can go prove it to somebody else if you need to. Turn with me and let's look at something. Look in chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become what? Sound doctrine. Boy, in the world are you going to get sound doctrine if you don't know what it is? I had a man tell me one time, I majored too much on doctrine. People didn't need doctrine. They didn't need to be indoctrinated. They just need to preach Jesus. That's the way he did. Of course, I had one tell me I'd blasphemed the Holy Spirit and there was no hope for me. He was a preacher. And I said, thank God Paul was a blasphemer and God saved him. I said, buddy, I'm going to heaven whether you think so or not. Sound doctrine. Look in verse 2, that the aged men, why do you want to speak things which become sound doctrine? Why do you want Titus to do this, Paul? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. That word sound there, that's healthy. To be healthy in faith. We love our spirits. I mean, folks, physically, if you ain't got physical health, I mean, nothing ever matters, don't you see? But yet, if you don't have spiritual health, you're useless too. Sound in faith and charity and patience. That the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. Ladies, you to be teachers of good things. That they, the ones that's older, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. And boy, that's for the, what do you call them? Libs? What do you call them? Women's lib something? Feminist? Feminazis? No, just to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Obedient. And I realize some can't. And I realize there ain't nothing wrong with it. But if you have to work, and I realize most time, and we live in a society today where it's almost a two-income household now to survive. But you still got to keep that home. Look what he said. Good. Obedient to their own home, that the word of God be not blaspheme. Like young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern unto good works in what? Huh? In doctrine. You can't get too much doctrine. You know that? Notice what he said. Verse 10. Verse 8, sound speech, healthy speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. I mean, folks, come down to verse 10, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Folks, no doubt about it. I could just go on and on about this. We need doctrine. Where are we going to get sound doctrine and it'll make us healthy and be spiritually sound and healthy in the faith? You get it through the one God gave it to, Paul. Now let me say this. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Now I want to show you something. And look at this thing. All scripture is for me. All of it. Genesis to Revelation. But it's not all to me. All the Bible's for me, but it's not all sound doctrine for me. You understand? Look in Matthew chapter 7. And notice when in verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his what? Doctrine. Come over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Did Jesus Christ teach doctrine? What it said, wasn't it? In Mark chapter 4, notice in verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Look over with me to Mark in chapter, let me get there. I think it's 12. Mark chapter 12. Jesus Christ taught doctrine, no doubt about it. Notice in verse 38, Mark chapter 12, verse 30, he said unto them, in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing, love salutations in the marketplaces. Jesus Christ taught the 12 doctrine. Turn to John, look in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, notice in verse 16, John 7, 16, and Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, folks, there's no doubt about it. Jesus Christ taught doctrine. And it was good doctrine. But what Jesus Christ taught in his early ministry would not be sound doctrine for you today. Now we can make spiritual applications of it, but it would not bring health to you. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 again. Notice some things. In Matthew chapter 7, notice, let me go back to chapter 6. That's in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Did he tell you not to lay up treasures on this earth? Would money be considered a treasure? We have a man of it's our what? Why do we call him our treasure? We love him so much. No, we do love it, don't we? I do appreciate what all it does. He does far beyond what we expect. I mean, you wouldn't believe. But he's our treasure because he takes the money. Now, where does he put it? Do thieves break in the banks? Ah, but you don't stick it in a can in your backyard, do you? If he did, Rust would get it, wouldn't it? Huh? He don't put it in a hole in the mattress, moths get it. Look in 2 Corinthians. So that's doctrine. That's commandment. That's the commandment of the Lord. I'm going to follow Jesus. And everyone, about everybody in this building today that's working, anyway, you've got a checking account. How about a savings account? 401k? Huh? You got it laid up, haven't you? Are you doing what the Lord told you to do? Look in 2 Corinthians, and notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you got rid of everything, you didn't lay up nothing, would that be sound for you? Well, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and notice what he says there. Notice in verse 14, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you." And he's talking about money and them supplying his need and everything. "For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." But the parents should what? For the children. It's the opposite of what the children do. The children shouldn't what? Lay up for the parents, but the parents should lay up for the children. Now Jesus said, lay not up treasures, and money is a treasure. Now which is wholesome to you? Which would be sound doctrine for you? Look with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Jesus Christ talking. In Luke chapter 12. Verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What's verse 33, the first words? "Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth." Well, what treasure is he talking about there where he said, lay up not treasures? That's land. That's anything of value, folks. The treasure in the Bible is your property, your houses, and that's what you leave to your children. Paul said you ought to do that. Jesus said don't do it. Now who are you going to listen to? Which is your doctrine? Who is your apostle? Who did he say follow? Paul. He didn't say follow Luke. Jesus Christ taught doctrine. And you say, well, that means it. They ought to be willing to do it. There ain't nobody in shoe leather willing to do that. Look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, in the right mind. I notice, and if you want to, you go ahead and sell everything you got and you come on and lay it down at my feet. I'll help you. I'll relieve the burden of you, off of you. Look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And notice what they did in verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Well, that can't be us today. We ain't in common. Some of you make a lot more than I do. Some of you got less than I got. Some of you got more than I got. There ain't nothing common about us, are they? I mean, really. In physical terms, now we got all things common in Christ. I don't have any more in Christ than what you got in Christ. Now, but look what he said. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, folks, they got rid of it, didn't they? I mean, there ain't no doubt about it. They got rid of it. They sold everything they had and they laid it down. Why? They're expecting the kingdom. The doctrine that Jesus Christ taught was the doctrine of the kingdom. Why are you there in Acts? Turn and look again in Acts and notice in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, where you was at, notice in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The apostles taught doctrine. That doctrine was the doctrine of the kingdom, just like Jesus Christ taught doctrine of the kingdom. He said, "O ye of little faith, you don't need to work, you don't need to do nothing. I mean, just sell everything you got, depend on the Lord." He clothed the grass in the field, he gave the sparrow food to eat, and he'll clothe and feed you. And he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Well, that's not the faith that Paul taught. You don't see what Paul taught? Jesus Christ said, the lilies didn't spin, but they didn't eat, they didn't work, they never toiled, and God fed them and clothed them. Are ye not much better than they? Oh, ye a little faith, God will take care of you, God will give you all your... Well, look what Paul said. Turn to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice what he said in verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 10. And look back in verse 8. You all see Paul's life. "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught." Paid for everything he got. "But wrought with labor and travail, night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Look in 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy, verse 8. Chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Remember Jesus said about working? They quit everything. God will take care of you. Paul said if a man didn't work, he don't eat. That's the opposite of what the Lord said in Matthew. He said the birds, they don't spin, they don't gather in the barns, yet God feedeth them. Are you not much better than the birds? Oh, ye a little faith. Verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the what? The faith, and is worse than infidel. I'd say God Almighty meant for believers in the body of Christ to work, mend, and provide for your family. And if you don't work and you don't provide for your family, you denied the faith and you worship that infidel. Say amen right there. That's a good point. But Jesus Christ, in His doctrine and in the doctrine of the 12 under the kingdom program, they wasn't a work. Do y'all not see wholesome sound? Last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul preached doctrine. His was sound words for you. Verse 37 says, 1 Corinthians, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's Paul's doctrine. You find them in Romans through Philemon. You want to be spiritually healthy? Study. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sound doctrine, wholesome words. Embrace them, love them, follow Paul, and you can follow the Lord. Shake hands with one another and you're at liberty.